Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's all about the beef, and it's what for dinner. And we are, first couple segments we've got behind us, and now we're going to be talking a little bit about the salting game, and that is seasonings for your piece of beef, and might run into another couple cuts. But when it comes to seasoning a piece of beef, there's a lot of differing opinions on it. I will share mine with you. Bob might contradict this and say, no, it's not what he likes to do. But the beauty of this is that
it's probably going to happen.
If you find something you like, stick with it.
That's right. If it's working for you, do not screw with it.
Right. So from a seasoning standpoint, we'll get into favorite cuts later. But let's say that I'm doing a steak with a bone in it, whether it be a bone-in ribeye or whether it be one of the T-bones or porterhouses. But my steak's got a bone in it because I like to share it with Gibby when I'm done. You know, I eat the steak, and then there's a little bit for the dog, and I watch him enjoy it, and I get to enjoy the same steak twice. But when I get a steak out and I season it, I've got a concoction that I make, and I put it in a shaker, and I've taken a Sharpie and write steak on top of the jar, and that's all I ever use it for. And it's in it just any size seasoning jar you got, but I go 50% of kosher salt, okay? Not cracked sea salt, but kosher salt, because it's a little bit flatter, and I feel it like settles down onto the steak. And then I put in the balance of that would be about 25% of black and white pepper mix, and then I'll do 25% garlic powder. Now, it's a simple little thing, salt, black and white pepper, and garlic powder, but I mix it all up so it comes out evenly out of my shaker. I'll pull that steak out, and I'll season that. Now, this is where it differs between Bob and I. Bob likes to season steaks right before they go on the grill. Me, I like to set them on the counter with the seasoning, that seasoning on it anyway. I like to leave them set there for an hour or two and come up to room temperature. I feel that that seasoning gets drawn into the meat a little bit, and then when I cook it, it doesn't come off as much. What I mean is if I'm flipping it on the grill and the grill grates hit it, it's kind of seated in there. But that's just how I like to do it, and it's worked for me. Pretty much anybody that ever comes over and has a steak at my place, that's the way it gets prepared for them. Other than the doneness, that's the way I season a steak. So, Bob, what about you, man?
Well, actually, I've tried it both ways. Lately, I've been, like a few weeks ago, I was saying that I've been reading that you should do it right when you do it, or to
you
let
you
it
mean season to, it right yeah, when you cook it.
Or
right.
To do it for an hour prior. My message was, don't salt it and let it sit there for 5 minutes. You can salt it right off the bat and do it if your meat's cold. But what I've been playing with lately, after researching a bunch, and I've been doing this the last maybe 3 weeks, last night it worked out perfectly. I had some sirloin. I took coarse sea salt, and I mean, I buried these things. They were thick, beautiful pieces of sirloin. And I let them set out for about an hour and a half. As a matter of fact, the smaller cuts were starting to cook. They were turning a weird color. And then I rinsed them off. And here's the key from what I've discovered is you have to rinse all that salt off before you grill it. Because what happens, you pour that salt on there, and what salt wants to do is it wants to draw the water out of anything you put in it. But if it sits there long enough, that water and salt mix together, and then that salty water goes back into the steak. Osmosis brings that back in. But you still have a lot of slime and substance on the top of the steak. You want to take that off. On the bottom of the steak, when you're salting it and setting it like that, you should actually put some paper towels under it because it'll draw that slime off of it, and you'll have a little truer flavor. But what I did with these is I just let that salt sit for about an hour, hour and a half, and then I rinsed them nicely, patted them dry, put some Tuscany EVO on them, and then I put this cracked pepper blend that I like to use. I didn't put any more salt on them, just a pepper blend, and I threw them on the grill. My mouth's watering now as I remember how good they were. Here's the key, though. When you do this, the resting, in this method, the resting is super important. And it's important with any steak, but if you've done all this to flavorize your meat, you've got all sorts of juice still in that meat. If you cut into it, you're going to drain it. You're going to have a bloody mess on your plate. You're going to still get moisture coming out of this steak, even if you rest it. It's gonna dump.
When you say rest, you're taking this thing off the grill, and what you're really saying is don't serve it right away.
Give it 10 minutes at least.
Right, and put them on a platter if you're cooking for a bunch of people. Have them eat their salads, and then bring the steaks to the table.
Because that fluid has to then start cooling down inside that steak, and the osmosis has to reverse, and it has to go back to wherever it came from in that body, in that muscle. So it's as it cools down, it'll migrate again. And hopefully, and generally, towards the center of that cut where it came from, because you're driving, as it cooks, you're driving a lot of the moisture to the surface, and you just want it to recirculate and go back into all areas of the meat.
Right.
And if you cut into it, you're creating a big drain for it. Speaking of big drain, I'm a big drain right now for this hop knocker. It's tasting pretty good.
Schmoes can make some hop knocker.
That there is some good beer.
Yes, it is. I wanted to touch on one other thing you mentioned. Is you took the steak out early and buried it in this salt, and you left it there for an hour. That wasn't in the refrigerator, was it?
No, it's on the counter. I'm bringing it to room temperature. But
why is that important? I think that's a point that we need to make sure everybody understands.
Well, it helps even cooking, right?
Right. And what he means by that, in my world, is that if you've got a steak that everything thaws out from the outside
in. It's relative.
It's going to be coldest in the center. And if you're cooking, putting all the heat on the outside, the center, by the time you get the center to your proper doneness, you're going to overcook the outside of the steak. So what you want to do is get that thing to room temperature through, so when you cook it, you get a more even cook and you don't have charred on the outside and raw on the inside.
What I've noticed is in rinsing all that salt off, and then patting it dry and putting whatever I'm going to put on it. I would not put any more salt on it, because what was incredible to me with last night's steaks were that I poured just a crazy amount of sea salt on them. I mean, I was really playing, but I got this stuff on sale. It was just sirloin.
The steak or the salt?
Yeah, both of them. It was just sirloin. So if I ruined them, I wasn't going to cry. I was going to eat them.
Yeah.
But what was incredible was how nice and crispy the outside was. But they were just absolutely, and of course, used the thermal pen, brought them right up to 135, 137. And my goodness, I'm definitely going to use this method afterwards. So that's heavily salt, stand for an hour, rinse, pat dry, coat with oil, coat with aromatics, grill, high temperature on each side, and then slow them down for the middle if they're thick. If they're not thick, it doesn't matter.
Right. Now, what's your favorite cut? I see we've got a note here. Is it strips or tees? And the tees, I incorporate that as a T-bone, which could be further forward on the animal, which is your porterhouse, or you get a little further back, they're the T-bone. Personally, I prefer a bone in the steak rather than a cut that is boneless. For some reason, I don't really understand.
It's your dog.
But
I don't care for T-bones much because I'm not a big strip fan. And a T-bone has tenderloin and New York strip in it. Neither one are my favorite pieces, so I tend to not buy T-bones. Plus, it's got so much bone. It makes it harder to cook it uniformly. The ends always end up more well done than the center. I don't believe that bone during the cooking process has done any good for that steak whatsoever. I know that.
I don't know. They always say the meat's sweeter next to the bone.
And that meat was next to the bone for 2 years.
Right.
I don't think 8 minutes is going to have a big effect on it. All it does is it makes it harder for me to serve it.
I like it because I'll buy a big one, and if you got a guest over, you can give her the little filet side, and I can eat the strip side, and Gibby gets a bone.
And you can tell
match.
Her you gave her half the steak.
It's a perfect
well,
match.
Well, that is, for your situation, that's the perfect deal because women tend to like the tenderloin anyway.
Right.
So that's a good call.
Speaking of which, how are we going to make her happy? With a filet? That might be it. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.